Well, we have just come through one of the most memorable election seasons ever. Have we not?
Amen.
Now, if someone would have written a book about it, we may have not thought it to be believed. Amen?
Amen.
Pure fiction. Absurdity. Amen?
Amen?
And depending on your political views, you are either ecstatic that your political party now controls both the House, the Senate, the presidency, most of the governorships, if that's how you say it. Or you are in shock that, okay, devastated that a wealthy reality TV star will soon replace the first intelligent, classy African American president of the United States. I could say more, but you know the Lord just wouldn't let me go there this morning. It's just the truth. Many thought the glass ceiling would finally be broken and the first African American president would be followed by the first woman president. But fear and anger won the day. Trickle-down economics will soon be resurrected, but tax cuts for the wealthy didn't work for Reagan. He left us a huge deficit, did he not?
Yes.
So I doubt that it will work for Trump either, but they will try it nonetheless. You know, some Christians in this country believe that through electing congressmen, senators, governors, and of course, a president who will move forward their Christian agenda, they believe by this they are bringing forward God's kingdom on the earth. Now, while I fully believe that God will hold the nations accountable for how they have obeyed or rejected God's moral and righteous law, I don't think we can make this nation a Christian one by enacting laws. This is where the Jews and even the disciples got it wrong at first. They were looking for a savior to come and to deliver them from Roman rule and oppression. But Jesus knew that the human heart and soul needed delivered from the power of sin. He knew that an inward transformation had to take place before any lasting outward manifestation of justice and righteousness could occur. You see, knowing Jesus and receiving his spirit changes us at the core of our being, because when his grace and his spirit enters our lives, he reorders our priorities and our deepest desire is to please him.
Amen.
At least it should be.
Amen.
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 Galatians chapter 2 verses 20 through 21 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." That's the word of the Lord. Amen? Keeping the law isn't possible anyway outside of the grace of God. And we are recipients of that grace through what Jesus did for us on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, breaking the power of sin and death over us, and making it possible for us to be reconciled to God. That's why he could sum up the law with two instructions. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because when we wholeheartedly love the Lord, we will not put anything else before him. Not a person, not a thing or things, not any group or political party, and most certainly not ourselves. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, there is no room for hate, racism, misogyny, or even apathy about the plight of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Because love and justice go together, and they bring about peace. What is going on in our country today, and in fact in the world at large, cannot be characterized as peaceful. And the peace that characterizes God's kingdom will not be brought about or maintained by military force of a nation, the one who holds the biggest stick. Not going to work. So both our Old Testament and New Testament passages remind us that our hope does not lie in any man or woman, nor does it lie in human government and laws. Thousands of years ago, God gave the prophet Isaiah a vision. It was a revolutionary vision given in a time of hopelessness in Israel while they were held captive in a foreign land. The almighty power of God that was displayed at the dawn of creation is going to create again, making all things new, so glorious that it will erase the sorrows of the past, and every need will be fulfilled. The kingdom of God will dwell with humanity. Jerusalem will no longer be filled with distress, and its people will be a delight. Isaiah's vision points to the new order, a new creation where justice and harmony triumph. Now, some biblical scholars believe Jerusalem in this passage symbolizes God's eternal kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul shows how the new creation applies to believers in Christ. Revelation chapter 21 speaks more about the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. Verses 1 through 4 say this from the words of the Apostle John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look! God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
Amen.
Now, we will not fully understand these prophecies until the day they come to pass. But today we are reminded that the current disunity and enmity in this world is but for a moment. God's kingdom of righteousness and peace will reign, and in fact is already among us. Jesus is coming, inaugurated the kingdom, and made us subjects of it in the here and the now. And God's kingdom cannot be destroyed by the weapons of men. It is an indestructible kingdom.
Yes.
What the Pharisees in Luke chapter 17 failed to realize was that with Jesus in their midst, the kingdom had arrived.
Amen.
And they missed it. They missed it because they were looking in the wrong places. May that not be so with us. Amen?
Amen.
When we look to human powers and alliances to bring about God's rule and reign on this earth, we miss it. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." When Jesus taught his followers how to pray in Matthew 6, he included the phrase, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." With the division uncovered and stirred up during the election, many hearts are now crying out for that very thing, the manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. We long for the time when the lion will lay down with the lamb, when we can forget all the ugliness of this present dark time, and the sound of weeping will be no more. But as we wait, and as we long for God's kingdom of justice and harmony, we must remember what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is among you. The full expression of God's kingdom is yet to come, but we see it manifested through the life-transforming power of the Spirit that is at work in our lives. Amen? God's kingdom is present in the heart of every believer in Christ because Jesus Christ reigns there. So in these troubling times, we must not lose focus. Amen? Now is not the time to wring our hands in dismay. Amen? Now is not the time to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and be immobilized with what is going on in the world.
Amen.
We must keep our hand to the plow and pray. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Not through our manipulation of the process. Amen?
Amen.
Not by our selling our souls to the devil. Amen?
Amen?
Not by putting our trust in laws and sinful men and women. Amen? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come in me. Amen? Thy kingdom come in you. As we submit our lives to the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ, as we submit our lives to live and walk in the Spirit, God's kingdom is among us now. Amen?
Amen.
We are the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
It's not time to hide. Amen? It's not time to be afraid. It's time to shine brighter than we ever have, because only the light can dispel darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, God. Thy will be done. Amen?
Amen.
In us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You are our hope. You are our strength. Nothing is beyond you, God. Sometimes you give us what we think we want, and we find out that it comes back to bite us. that may be the very case with this election. But even if it is, God, you're still God. Your word is still true. You have prophesied all this, Lord, before we were even a thought. So we thank you because our lives are in your hands. And we look for that day when your kingdom will be fully manifest on this earth and there will be no more pain, no more mourning, no more death, no more sorrow. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And use us, God. Use us to be bright and shining lights for you. We need to shine for you today, God. We need to stand as a unified people over and against all the disunity in this country. May we bring you glory, Father. May we point to you, our true hope. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.